Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Too Much Movie. It's so overdue. This is the show where Rob Belushi, Chris Candy, and I, Blake Howard, get together and talk about a movie that is simply too much. It almost cannot be contained. And in this movie, there are some performances that simply cannot be contained. But my co-host, well, he's God's little creature, Chris Candy. We've got Rob Belushi, who some say has so many names. One of them may be Satan, but I'll just call him Dad. Gentlemen, it is so good to have you back to talk about this incredible film, also firmly planted in the 90s, 1997's The Devil's Advocate, directed by the very cool and underrated Taylor Hackford and written by Andrew Niederman, Jonathan Lepkin, but mostly one T. Tony Gilroy. Starring Keanu Reeves, Al Pacino, Charlize Theron, and of course, so many freaking more. Connie Nielsen, holy shit, gentlemen. Get excited about talking about The Devil's Advocate.
I am ready to go all in on this one. It reeks of everything you know of that 90s to early 2000s transitional period. It's got a lot of stuff I love. And it's got some stuff I kind of hate, but I really enjoyed the rewatch. And my first note on this, and then I'll pass it to Rob. So creepy. I have so creepy written down on my first note. It's a creepy movie.
The first time you look at Pacino in this movie, when he's just in the city, in the wings.
Yeah.
That is, he's creepiest and sallowest, and there's just something about they take all the color out of his skin. He just looks, I love this kind of like the kind of like magical realism fantasy elements, because they do really good twisty. It's right on the borderline of like high fantasy sort of like horror potential, but it like keeps it really anchored in sort of like a John Grisham-y legal thriller for chunks of it. So it's just like that merger of those two things, always so delectable and fun. And because they spent a bazillion dollars to shoot this thing in New York City and spared no expense, it looks amazing. Rob, tell me about this movie.
Guilt is like a bag of fucking bricks. All you got to do is set it down. I watched that part last night. And I was like, oh, you know what? He's right.
Like, yeah, he is. You know what? Yeah, this guy's got a lot of good points, John Milton. A lot of good points.
Yeah, I love his name is John Milton.
Little different when you're looking down.
No, I you know, like Chris, you can this feels like you can taste the 1997 in it, like the colors. Like I feel like there's a lot of cigars in it, even though there really isn't. I mean, only a couple, but it really does feel like the zenith of the 90s before it starts to move into the 2000s.
I was just going to piggyback off that. Like the erotic thriller is like, you know, just,
it's in the conversation right now. Like, you know, the terrific, the terrific series that's now been running for 2 years, Erotic 80s and Erotic 90s, with Karina Longworth and her great show, You Must Remember This. She's doing the Erotic 80s, Erotic 90s, these big blowout series, mm-hmm. way more extensive than we're going to cover, but I love the wheelhouse that she's staying in that. And Criterion Channel has been doing the erotic thrillers, yep. like curated lists as well. And it's just like, there's just something about, like, I'll tell you an aside. The other day I was sitting, I have a television in a back patio at my place in Australia. So I like to sit out there and watch sport or whatever. And my kids were inside watching some kid show, not something awesome like Bluey, something terrible that I just couldn't bear. So I'm like, I'll go out and watch a movie. And I went on and chucked on an erotic thriller. And what I love about the period is that it was not 30 seconds into the movie before a beautiful naked woman was just like splayed across the screen. I'm like, I can't watch this right now because my kids are going to come out here in like 10 yeah. seconds. I'm going to turn that right off and I'm going to go back to something more family friendly. And this movie is exactly like that.
Yeah, exactly.
It really, it's so funny. I loved this movie when it came out. Like, I am very available to Milton's whole kind of, you know, sermon. Like, I feel like it,
oh yeah,
yes,
it's directly at me. But on this rewatch, I was just like, God, there used to be so many blowjobs in movies. Like, there's just so much like weird. It's not like sex. It's just like weird domination fucks all through this like Devil's Advocate. I was like, I love it. Keep yeah. going, but
lesbianism, menage a trois. You know,
really aggressive change room scenes, you know, my yeah. favorite, maybe we'll get to it. We'll get to it. But yeah. that's like underrated, creepy, malicious, creepy. Vindictive shit. Yeah. And it's just like, here it is. Yeah, look, this is, I think one of the challenges with some of these movies is like, and especially with Pacino, I think it's a complete misreading of Pacino. So I think that's what I wanted to touch on with you guys before we dive into scenes. It's like, so many people were like, oh, Pacino, once he gets his Oscar, all he can do is this. All he can do is this big notes. And I'm just like, he loves it because it's like a chewy monologue that actors get to do. Like, you only have to watch, I mean, very recently, last year, one of the best shows of the year was a Star Wars show, which I never thought I would say. Andor, written by Tony Gilroy, and Stellan Skarsgård get some fucking monologues in that show that actors would kill for. Like, they're just so on point. So you can imagine that when a great writer like Tony Gilroy hands you the devil, right? The like one of the funnest characters you would imagine to be able to play ever in the history of any art. And he gives that to you, and it's just this buffet of these languid, creepy, performative dialogue over and over again. It's like, of course the guy's going to lean into it. He's just going to chew it up. He's going to eat it up. There's nothing subtle about this movie. I mean, Donald Trump, this is a tidbit that I'm going to burn right now. Donald Trump lent Taylor Hackford, Pacino, and Gilroy one of his apartments in New York City to film scenes in this movie in 1997.
It's Craig T. Nelson's apartment.
Nelson's apartment. Yeah.
They lent him
the apartment because he just wanted to be invited to a party with Al Pacino. Like, that's 1997. This movie. It is just really fun. And I'm now getting more of a soft spot, and I may have been Michael Mann's black hat pilled, but a person who is miscast and doing an accent badly sometimes, it starts to grow on me because I think it's bad, but it's just good. It's just fine. And Keanu, not his strength to do accents, but he's given it a good go. You know, he's just given it a good go. And even Charlize Theron, she's given it a good go. She just came off the plane from South Africa and she's thrown into being like a Southerner. And you're like, it's not exactly working, but it's fine.
I think when I first saw, I mean, I agree with you so much. The Pacino of it, I mean, he just feasts in this movie, and there is no other performance, you know, than what he gives. Like, he's the devil. So don't tell me he's screaming and like pushing it to 10. You know, it's
Sorry, you wanted him subtle? Shut up.
Yeah, no, it's way. Just, it's not a subtle devil that is written in the script. It's the devil that we think about with a job running a law firm, you know? And On this last rewatch, like,
I nearly made me spit up. Then you nearly made me spit up. A Devil with a Job.
Yeah.
At a law firm. To be really clear,
yeah, like,
we are
that's
just
the
also
movie, though.
That's the movie.
And yeah, it's the movie, and like, I love Pacino even more this time through. It made me miss him. You know, I want more of him every day. But on this rewatch, something that's different than when I watched when I was like 17 years old and loved it was the Keanu and Charlize of it all, which mm-hmm. you know, I didn't care for when I watched it immediately. You know, like, we were 17 and it was like Keanu was, we didn't really know what he would become.
We didn't know what we had. We didn't know what we had. He was about to be the biggest movie star in the world again.
The right. thing he nails, and I mean absolutely nails, even with his like whatever accent, is that proud innocence that yes. is written in the script. I mean, he is, I don't know how you hit it and still kind of play it a little smart, which I felt like he nails that. And the thing about this rewatch that I really is, I think about Charlize, Marianne's character, who I felt, you know, to my obvious detriment, like, she was pulling back the main character's transformation. She was screaming. She was needy. Like, I think that's how she was coded in 1997.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought her performance was awesome. And second of all, like, I just watched it from her point of view, and I found her story to be very upsetting.
Oh.
And I remember when I originally watched it to now, I turned to my wife and I said, this is the one of the most upsetting things I've ever seen on film, which is when she's, you know, takes her own life.
Yeah.
After being tortured and threatened and, you know, scared to death, and she kills herself. And it's like, you know, I know it's a movie of bold extremes and hyper real, whatever, but like, God, it breaks my heart when she just looks so scared. And that was, you know, obviously Pacino's nothing but fun. And like I said, 45 seconds into his pitch on me, I'd be like, yeah, what is it? What do you ask? My soul, take it. Like, I don't care, dude. This is, let's do it, you know? But,
right.
But on this rewatch, her loss really touched me more.
Yeah. I watched this with my girlfriend, and she had a lot of thoughts on it. And I have some fun notes that she passed on as well.
Yes. I love this, Chris. Please make this something when your girl is just like dropping yeah, yeah. complete shade on a movie or something. Yeah. Please bring it to us. I love it.
She really loved it, but she's a hairdresser. So she had some notes, like 6 out of 10 for Charlize's perm. You know, it's pretty good. not great.
Not
but
great.
was better than the shorter haircut that she got later. But I think, yeah, she's had some stuff in her life where it's like she's dealt with like terrible men. And one of the things she kept on saying during this whole thing is like, this type of like toxic masculinity that all these guys have in this law firm is just like, on the women's side of it, is just a fucking nightmare. You know, it's like, it's a nightmare. And like Pacino's whole sexy suave kind of thing is like a nightmare for the woman to deal with. And I thought that I was interested. You brought that up about Charlize as she ends up taking her own life. Cause I thought the same thing. Like, I thought that I have a lot of opinions on this movie, but what this movie did this time for me on the watch is, let's say the first time I watched it, I thought it was a really cool, fun, scary movie. Mm-hmm. Now, as time has gone on, I'm going, this is still a very cool, fun, scary movie, but there's like all of this intelligent, effective cinema going on regarding if the devil were to exist, how it would get into one's life. It would cause fighting, heavy drinking, confusion, suicide, all of these things that basically break up relationships, and cause major dysfunction. And that's truly devilish, right? That would be truly evil. And I thought, and watching this, it felt much more real. And yeah, she just, you know, but I would then tell her to that point, you know, I said, you know, she kind of get worked up about Pacino, and I'm going, I know, but he is the devil. he's literally cast as the devil. This was a movie about the worst of the worst. It doesn't get worse.
But to her point, that is what every man
wanted to
probably,
be.
Not even in that, every man, even to this day, aspires to be is this evil fuck, you know?
Yeah, and exactly. Like,
that's why his pitch works on me.
But that was the thing at the end of it. That was the only part of Pacino that resonated with her was his monologue at the end. I'm a humanist. She's like,
I never judged him.
You know what, Chris Candy?
I'm a beta man.
You know what, Chris Candy just coming in hot with like a real solid Pacino. Like, you're just giving me the shakes, Candy. This is good stuff. I was just going to say to you, you know, we've just obviously, it's so hard out of like the pandemic, right? No one really wants to go back there because it stunk for a lot of us. But one thing I can say is that I got to make friends with people like you. So I get so grateful about it. But that was what resonated with me this time is like the weapon that these guys have to suckle on the teat of this life that satisfies their ego is, I'm going to throw money at you. I don't care how isolated you are. I don't care if you're alone. I don't care if all of your dreams are crushed. You're just going to be satiated with fucking wallpaper and drinking at lunchtime and being isolated. And when I come home from my like 19-hour day in the office, you just can't bitch at me because look at all the money I threw at you. But like, it just shows you that like the moral value of what they're doing, like it doesn't translate. And then you have to have these almost like harpies that become become their own kind of manipulative women that create their lives for themselves to be, you know, to give themselves some entertainment because they are just there as trophies. They're just there for the after office party. They're just there for their boss to flirt on their wives. They're just there to placate the man and make them feel good. And it's just so funny because like that whole thing of like, how could someone possibly be unhappy with that much money living in New York City? But it's like, no, I think something we can all appreciate is being in pure isolation. With nothing, you've just got no one there, no social interaction, and how crushing that can be. And New York City, you know, the biggest city in the world, the most people, the most interaction. She's just crushed in this apartment, like, or she goes out tactically with these absolutely toxic women who have bought into this toxic life. And you're like, wow, this is just awful. And she does, you said a proud innocence with Keanu, like that's innocent Charlize. Like as she's gotten older, she's gotten a whole array of performances, but knowing her this early in her career, she could totally do that outsider innocent and just completely like a sponge to all these impacts. I think she does a really great job.
Yeah.
I did too. And like that, amazing. You know, the stuff you're saying, Chris, is totally true. And like, obviously not all men aspire to be the devil. And I think, of course, we're tracking, but
not
like that
men.
Type of
not all
greedy,
men.
You know what I mean? Like executives and lawyers and all this. I couldn't, the idea of working in spending 19 hours in an office to me is, I cannot fathom it. And
even eight is tough. Even eight is tough.
Yes, dude. Yes. Anyway, we won't get into me and what a worthless piece of shit I am. No, what you're saying is so good. Is like, I think this movie is, whether it's to your taste or not, it is very effective. And like, it's effective that how that woman is crushed is effective. How he abandons her is crushed, and then how Milton calls him to account, you know, in the end, like, I told you, you know, the world would forgive you. You said to me, and then he puts his own words back into his face, like, I'll resent her, you know, and like, it's just, It's all very effective. The Eddie Barzun of it all is so, I mean, talk about creepiness.
Oh, so
you know,
good.
Just remembering how creepy he is, and then how creepy he actually was. But if there's like one thing about this movie that I wish I had in my house, it's the thing behind his desk that
the one they animate with all the I think it's a sculpture that's inspired by Dante's Inferno. I might Google it while we're watching it, but it's like that whole like Inferno thing, like the souls, and then it all just starts moving and they all just start groping each other and being pulled down into nothingness. It's absolutely fantastic.
One of the funniest things that happens is like when fucking Keanu like pulls his gun out and puts it to his head, like one of the demons in his sculpture is like, and I died laughing.
That part blew my mind.
The souls are scared. Yeah.
Well, kind of like
I love the script though. I mean, I'm sorry, Chris. I'll let you. Just my final thing, which is just like, it is a relentless, marauding onslaught of honestly perfect logic.
Yes.
To somebody who is a modern person receiving it. And, you know, the writing is great. I loved it. Go ahead, Chris. I'm sorry to keep going.
Oh, no, I just got very strong Ghostbusters 2 energy at the end of this movie with, Vigo, yes. Dante's Inferno. Yeah, it was, we'll get into it. I think that my one thing where I kind of, I just have to appreciate it. But it's kind of, we're in this film seeing the beginning of where we went astray with computer generated images. You know, it was just like
or where we got it so right. If you ask me.
I don't know. I don't want to actually knock movies for this too much, but it definitely did not age well with that. Felt kind of more like an episode of Buffy at times. But I think we'll get into
you mean when his face turns into Kia?
Yeah.
Like that,
and he's like,
or like at the end of the movie when the guy turns into Pacino, you know, it's like it had a little bit of like, you know, Goosebumps energy. It was kind of like, all right,
that's the best.
I know it's the best, and I don't want to knock it. So it's like, but it does not age well when you have these. One of the things I wrote down is like the cinematography in this is insane. It's so pretty. You have some of these, you know, beautiful upshots of the buildings, and the city has never looked prettier. I love
that Pacino. Empty street.
It's just so visual. And then it's like you got some weird, you know, Halloween hayride freak show smile going on. Like I wrote down that the smiles were so creepy. There was a lot of subtlety in this movie that actually worked really well. Everyone in the law firm had really terrible teeth. All their teeth were kind of dyed this odd color. And, you know, Keanu had these like creepy smiles that he would shoot. I think that those worked incredibly well in comparison to, pan over to see naked lady's freak smile. But I want to get into this more. I did really enjoy it. I just found myself, there was a bit of a lull for it for me in the middle, but it really is all about that monologue at the end for me.
Yeah. We'll get to our favorite scenes. Excuse me. We'll get to our favorite scenes, but I just want to ask you guys, I really have an affinity for like devil movies. And so I really like, obviously, Angel Heart. Then we had The Devil's Advocate. And then we had like End of Days and Stigmata came pretty hot on each other's heels around those times. And like
Stigmata,
like rules. I think it skates into the 90s, so we might be lucky to talk about it. But I love all of those movies for, you know, we've got Robert De Niro as Lewis Cipher, the best name ever. We've got John Milton, and then you've got Gabriel Byrne playing the devil, right? And Arnold Schwarzenegger And all of these movies that are all set around this character and this quandary, and whether it's, you know, we're going up into 1999, so they think the end of days and it's time for the devil and all that. But just all of them, even though some of them have aged badly and they've got bits that kind of maybe don't work in the overall, probably Angel Heart is the most cohesively perfect, perhaps, out of all three. But I just can't get enough of like a great actor tackling this character, because they just had so much fun with it. Gabriel Byrne, he got to be big, he got to be malicious and malevolent, and then put him against like Arnie. You know, I love all these kind of movies, and they have tremendous rewatch value for me. Like, if Angel Heart's on, it's staying on. And if End of Days pops in and Arnold Schwarzenegger puts old pizza into it feels very like 2023, like puts old pizza in like a blender and like drinks it. It feels very much like Jim Instagram bros these days, you know, he like, but pours like into that and he just starts drinking. If I catch him drinking that, you know, that muck, I'm like, I'm in, let's go to the End of Days. You know, it's such good movies.
A Pacino next to like the De Niro Angel Heart is like very different.
Oh, yeah. and then Gabriel Byrne comes back around and does like a weird triangulation between the two, because he's more subtle and then more malevolent.
Wait, I thought Stigmata, isn't he like,
no, he's
an
a priest
investigator.
He's a priest investigator in Stigmata, yeah. But in End of Days with Arnie, he's the devil.
Oh, okay.
So the Gabriel Byrne double was like, one of them he's like investigating
miracles.
Know, the miracles, yeah. And then End of Days is the devil. But okay. Yeah, like all those, okay, like that I kind was, of like, yeah, Catholic Church, you know, thrillers and religious thrillers, if you like. We had a crop of them that came out over about 10 years, and I think they're my favorite four.
Well, because the devil gives you an answer.
Yes.
Like, the devil will supply you the answer, and God only offers you the answer of faith in the face of mystery, you know? And like, that's why it works, you know? Yeah.
That's why Dogma is so damn fun. That's
it. Yeah. Works. That's that these movies, like, you know, because I've kind of explored this realm of like afterlife, heaven or hell in the creative realm, you know, it's like, it's so fun to work with that medium because no one has an answer. So you can kind of do whatever you want, you know, to the lighter side of it. Defending Your Life is one of my favorite comedies because it plays with what possibly is an afterlife. No one knows if it's true or not. But if you can kind of convince the audience that these are the rules of this devil or these are the rules of this heaven, it's so fun to watch. And like we're talking about, Pacino is just the perfect devil. And of course he works at a law firm in New York City. And of course he's a humanist. And he's that whole,
I'm a humanist.
That whole thing. I won't even get into it, but he's just like
biochemically no different than eating large quantities of chocolate.
Overrated.
You could look, but don't touch. You could touch, but don't taste. You could taste, you know,
but don't swallow. And while you're jumping from one thing to the next, he's up there laughing his sick fucking ass off.
Exactly.
His own private cosmic gag reel.
I buy it. I'm like, yeah, that's
it. 100%.
It's you don't walk away from this movie disagreeing with that monologue. You're like, yeah.
No, you don't. And I'm going to give everything away, but yeah. He is such a little, like, he just hits all the notes of the devil. Anyways, yeah, I will save it
all right,
for
well,
a
let, let's pump
he
the brakes.
He hits it, dude.
Oh, oh yeah. He hits it. And we haven't even spoken about Connie Nielsen. All right, so we're going to take a quick break and then we're going to jump in to our two favorite scenes of the movie. Chris Candy, you've got lots of notes there. I want to know what your favorite scenes are. And I think it's going to be hard probably for each of us not to just say the final scene, but do you have any other favorite scenes in the movie?
Yeah, I will, like, for the lack of, you know, for audience knows the last scene is like the collective favorite from everybody. I'll give you like two scenes that I just like stood out to me on this rewatch that I really enjoyed. it's got to be the church scene, and Pacino's in there, and it's at the very end, and when he sticks his finger in the fucking water.
And for that, it is a time of rejoicing. God, who is our refuge and our strength, God, who is that very present help in time of trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth should change, though the mountains shake in the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble with its tumult. We cannot fear too long.
Something for your lid.
I'm a friend of Eddie Barzun. You don't know me, but Eddie mentioned your name. Mitch Weaver, Justice Department.
Staking out the funeral?
Looking for you, actually.
I'm in a bit of a hurry. I need to talk to my wife.
I just wanted to ask you, off the record, I had a few questions about Eddie. Chadwick Waters is a little more than a law firm, but then I assume you knew that. Vergara Holdings, I'm sure you've heard of it. London, Kinshasa, Karachi, arms brokering mostly. Then you've got Munza Deitch, they're in Berlin, Jakarta, chemical weapons and toxic waste. Then you've got Ivanico Limited, Moscow, money laundering for the Eastern Bloc. Kevin, it goes on and on and on. Look, Milton is into everything. Barzun was coming in, Kevin. He was gonna testify. DeSoto and De Ballista, Panama. That's a firm that sets up bank accounts for judges all over South America. Huge drug cases, murder, everything.
What the fuck do you want? He's a lawyer. Now stay off my back.
This is a first time, last time offer, Kevin. I'm learning about you. I talked to some old friends in Florida this morning. The Geddes case, eighth grade teacher. They found him yesterday. He had the body of a 10-year-old girl in the trunk of his car.
And he looks up and in the camera.
Oh, yeah.
I love that he always looks down the barrel as the devil. He's just like,
all the fucking rules. That scene like really stood out to me. Also that's Keanu like really feeling pulled by all the forces. And I think I enjoyed that scene because it was so silly, so stupid, but I also could feel the pull. And then I think for me, for like, a second scene, I'm going to say the collective, whenever Keanu, like, actually, this is a great scene. When Pacino and Keanu are on the subway, they're going to the game. And he starts speaking Spanish to the dudes and basically saying, like, what's going on with his wife? And she's cheating on you. And if you could catch the next train right now, that scene worked the best for me, because the issue I had with this movie is like tonally, it was a little all over the place for me. But that scene stuck with me where it was like, it felt really real. That's how the devil would get in someone's fucking head. It was bizarre that he all of a sudden knew how to speak Spanish.
You got a lot of fingers, a lot of pies.
What the fuck are you looking at? Yeah, you. Were you deaf or something? You don't hear me?
Oh, I hear you fine.
Yeah? So get the fuck out of my car if you hear me fine.
Why? I didn't know it was your car. I'm having a good time here.
Now, I ain't asking, motherfucker. I'm telling you, man. Get the fuck out of my fucking car then.
Shit, junk.
Chill, man. Chill, man. I'm gonna cut your fucking throat, man. Fuck that.
Chill. Body seller.
Su esposa. El momento que saliste del apartamento,
ella estaba arriba con Carlos. Mira, amigo, están en la pipa fumando crack. Están en la cocina compartiendo un jumbo. Y después, en tu misma cama,
él se la va a meter
por el culo. Y a ella la va a gustar en tu cama verde especial.
¿Cómo?
What the fuck you know?
Sal de mi vista y póngase el cuchillo donde merece.
Go ahead, son. You still got time.
There's a train coming the other way. You'll just catch it.
You'll thank me in the morning.
Well, you're right, man.
Oh, I'm right. You'll see.
Invigorating.
What did you say to him?
I told him that if he didn't leave us alone, you were gonna kick his ass from here to the Calvin. Look at that. There's a lady getting up from her seat. Come on.
Left field. And I think, like, I just loved all of those collective Pacino, Keanu scenes when they were in the city. They looked really beautiful walking around. Oh,
yeah.
There's a chicken down the street. Where's the chicken? Where's the chicken? What was the line?
This chicken.
This chicken plays tic-tac-toe and he never loses. Just like you.
And then he's, who's the actor he's talking to who's been in everything?
Delroy. It's not Delroy.
Well, there's...
No.
Oh, no, that actor who's in Everything Everywhere All at Once.
Yes.
What's the line? I wrote it down here. That the cameos in
James Hong.
Yes.
Yeah, James Hong.
And James Hong just got, I think, a star on the Walk of Fame.
Yeah.
There's a chicken that plays tic-tac-toe. He never loses, just like you.
I do love that whole Roy Jones Jr. thing about, like, he always thinks he always tricks him into going to lose. I look, you know, he's like, I'm shorter, like I'm unpredictable. It gives that whole spiel. I love that. It's all around that area of the movie.
Yeah. And also just, I know this is like a third scene, but I do love, and I wish it actually maybe stayed through the movie. I felt like it had a little bit more beef, like meat to it. It was literally the goat scene. I think Delroy Lindo's character could have like played this interesting part, but like when that whole sequence, when, you know, you learn what he did. It's freakish. He's killing a goat. And then Keanu's got to defend him. And then he takes the tongue out. And then the guy's in the court. He's just coughing freakishly. Mm. That was when it worked really well for me. Like this, like, spiritual, devilish kind of supernatural is the word I'm looking for type events happening. I just loved that stuff in the movie.
Rob Belushi.
Yeah. Diaboli vitis in lumbis est. Diaboli virtus in lumbis est. The virtue of the devil is in his loins.
God, you're so good at delivering your favorite scenes.
No, I mean, I guess off that, I'd just like to go into favorite character, I guess, because Delroy Lindo is like, He's in there. You can blink your eye and he's gone. And he is not competing in the type of acting that anyone else is. Like,
yeah,
he, and it makes him so interesting.
Monsieur, I thought I would recognize you. But I do not.
Mr. Moyes?
Why?
We've never met. I'm Kevin Lomax. I'm a lawyer. I'm here about the Emmons.
We have an investment in blood. Think of it as spiritual currency.
Spiritual currency?
What?
Mr. Moyes, I'm gonna need your help with this.
What is the name of the man who will prosecute us?
Murdoch. Assistant District Attorney Arnold Murdoch. What are you doing, Mr. Moyes?
With this tongue, we create silence. You can go now. You will have all the help I can give you against Monsieur Murdoch.
Delroy Lindo is by far one of the greatest actors working ever. He's just,
I agree.
In every, like, you watch him in even stuff like the
Congo.
Yeah. Oh, well, Congo.
Stop eating my sesame cake.
Here, have a piece of cake.
Have some. My sesame cake.
Oh my God, a Congo reference. It's amazing.
But you know, like that performance in The Five Bloods that just got ignored by awards season because people are insane. Yeah. Like him in Heist with Gene Hackman.
Oh, yeah. He's doing
Mammoth, like, and just popping up here, just like killing it for a scene and then just walking off. Unbelievable.
Philippe Moyes, right?
Yeah, Moyes. Yeah.
Moyes.
What's the thing that made me fall in love? Anyway, look, I love him. I mean, I think he's that character, and then the, I guess, paralegal / demon that works with him. Like, I loved her too.
He's got $15 million dollars in the bank. Hey, Tarzan, we're billing you out for $400 an hour,
which seems so low. Now,
like, yeah,
these people are like, Crooklyn, goddamn, he was so good in that.
He's so good.
I love Crooklyn, man. That was such a good one. Anyway, Malcolm X, Jesus Christ, yeah. But the scenes, it's so hard to think of this movie as anything but the final scene, honestly.
Yeah,
it's right. Like
it is a downhill slope. To get to that like amphitheater scene. It's like, we are going to run downhill quickly. We're going to do all the bits that we need to. It's going to be unstoppable. We're never going to let you get a second to pause, except for Pacino breaking things up with like a wink at the camera or whatever.
Oh my God.
And
you could have saved her at any time, man. Oh man. What does he say? He's like, the whole Barzun monologue is great with him. That scene with him, doing the monologue over Eddie Barzun running in the park and those like invisible demons come. It's
That's a great scene.
You got a problem with documents? I suggest you put together one of your late night shredding sessions.
Ah. You think you're tough enough to run this firm? Ha! Remember the Weaver Commission investigation? Tell your mentor. The next time Weaver calls me, maybe I'll just pick up the phone.
Was he drunk?
I doubt it. He was going running. What the hell was he talking about?
Eddie's got himself in trouble again. And he wants me to save him. Only this time I can't.
Well, why does he think I'm after his job?
You ever have any experience with manic depression?
Not directly, no.
Oh, you do now.
346.
It's me. Get Eddie Barzun. He may be out running, so you might have to page him. It's an emergency.
Yes, sir.
You look like you could use a drink.
Yes. Yes, thanks.
Eddie Barzun. I nursed him through two divorces, a cocaine rehab, and a pregnant reception. God's creature, right? God's special creature. And I've warned him, Kevin. I've warned him every step of the way. Watching him bounce around like a fucking game. Like a wind-up toy. Like 250 pounds of self-serving greed on wheels. The next 1,000 years is right around the corner, Kevin. And Eddie Barzun, take a good look.
Excuse me.
Because he's the poster child for the next millennium. These people. It's no mystery where they come from. You sharpen the human appetite to the point where it can split atoms with its desire. You build egos the size of cathedrals, fiber optically connect the world to every eager impulse, grease even the dullest dreams with these dollar green, gold-plated fantasies until every human becomes an aspiring emperor, becomes his own god. Where can you go from there?
Hey, wrong way!
Yeah.
Fuck you!
And as we're scrambling from one deal to the next, Who's got his eye on the planet? As the air thickens, the water sours. Even the bee's honey takes on the metallic taste of radioactivity. And it just keeps coming faster and faster. There's no chance to think, to prepare. It's buy futures, sell futures, when there is no future. We got a runaway train, boy. We got a billion Eddie Barzoons all jogging into the future. Every one of them getting ready to fist-fuck God's ex-planet, lick their fingers clean as they reach out toward their pristine, kybernetic keyboards to tote up their fucking billable hours. And then it hits home. You gotta pay your own way, Eddie. It's a little late in the game to buy out now.
Give me your watch.
What? I like this watch. Do you think you're just gonna have to try and take it? Your belly's too full, your dick is sore, your eyes are bloodshot, and you're screaming for someone to help. But guess what? There's no one there! You're all alone, Eddie. You're God's special little creature.
Maybe it's so good. He's like, they're scrambling from one deal to the next. Who's got his eye on the planet? You know, Eddie Barzoon jogging into the future. Every one of them getting ready to fist fuck God's ex-planet, lick their fingers clean as they reach out toward their pristine cybernetic keyboards to total up their billable hours. Like, it's great. I mean, that's a great scene. And then the other scenes that I like, because you know you're going to lose them later, is her death scene. While I can't really call it my favorite scene, is that the period from her wrapped in that down comforter in the church. Oh. He did this to me, you know. Yeah. And then and to her death, like, that sequence is so fucking crazy. Yeah. And you just know that, like, the devil is at play. You know what I mean? The devil is at play here, but also how much they love each other. And, you know, for Keanu, it's like, I love him. Not always has the most chemistry with, he's just not like, watching him fuck in this movie was weird to me. You know what I mean? And all the blowjobs were weird. And like Al Pacino out at the salsa club.
The tango club.
Yeah. That's one of my favorite scenes. That is so
That's a good one.
Give it back to me. With a trumpet too. Jam it. Babs Coleman, Kevin Lomax. Babs is from Georgia Tech. Hey, you're neck of the woods. And there's Tiffany. New additions.
Good evening.
Where are you from? Don't tell me. Michigan!
How'd you know? Oh, my goodness. How do we know?
He's like, Keanu's on the phone, like, talking to his goddamn bitch wife, you know what I mean? Like, trying to get her off his back while he's at work, like,
Pacino's
with a bunch
up there,
of-
like.
So, dancing.
He just whispers into that girl's ear, and then he sits back and he's like staring into Keanu's eyes while whatever is happening under that
with
table.
With a cigar.
Could not be creepier.
Yeah. Or a cigarette, maybe. Yeah. And because his laugh is just like right there. that moment, Chris, when he was dancing the tango, I was like, watch this time. I was watching, I'm like, okay, is this too much? And then I was like, no. It's perfect.
I would have to agree. Yeah, like those were not the scenes that bothered me. Like, you know, I guess Pacino's an acquired taste to some people, but to your point earlier on in the pod, Blake, like he's like a flavor. He's his own flavor. Yeah. You know what I mean? Other actors kind of are like a part of a flavor. when you're getting Pacino, you want, you know, mint chip. That's what you're getting.
If I want mint chip, you better fucking give me some mint chip. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't want Al Pacino to go in there and play it like F. Murray Abraham. That's not the character that I want. I want someone who is big. I want him to be able to go there. He can go there. But yeah, no, it's so great. I only want to mention one more thing because I think you guys have covered some of my other favorites. But an actor who doesn't get like a lot of shout outs, and she's only a supporting character in the movie, Tamara Tooney, who plays,
she's great.
She's fantastic. So she's great in everything. But that scene when they're out shopping together.
Come on, Marianne. Let's check out Yoshi. Andrea?
Yes?
Another one of these, please.
Right away, Mrs. C.
No, 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 no.
Yes,
no,
yes, 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 yes. I want you loose and pliable this afternoon.
Nico, let's get another bottle of Chardonnay from Mrs. Fartoon and Mrs. Heath right away.
Oh, Lord, this is $3,000.
You know what you should do? You should buy it, wear it once, and then throw it away. That'll loosen you up.
I say, spend it all. If you're never going to see your husband, you might as well have a relationship with his money. I swear, if Eddie wasn't afraid of me shouting my mouth off, he would have put a cellulite clause in the prenup.
Dr. Robert, I'm telling you, he's the miracle man. You've seen my new tits. I mean, who does it better than that?
It's not my tits I'm worried about.
Not too big. Perfect. Real or not? They look real.
They must be real.
Feel them.
Oh, no, it's okay, really.
Go ahead.
No, no, no.
That's the ultimate test.
Come on.
Feel real?
Yes, absolutely real.
Dr. Robert. When you're ready.
That's a great scene.
Marianne Lomax. That scene, outside of every other scene you guys have mentioned, is absolutely one of my favorite scenes because I feel like it gets to gets to the reality of like this bargain, that this selling your soul bargain that these partners have had to buy into because they're kind of this little troop of lawyers is there. That's just absolutely wonderful. And I think Connie Nielsen. Connie Nielsen can melt wallpaper. That first scene when she's on the balcony with Kevin, with Keanu's character, I'm just like, oh, just take, it's fine. Take my soul for Connie.
Yeah,
Nielsen.
No, I don't know why I didn't say Connie Nielsen. Yeah. She's great. She is so great. God, I mean. Yeah.
And a good run. She ran in from The Devil's Advocate into Gladiator pretty close by as well. So she was having a moment in Hollywood, like in some of the really big movies and had great performances. And I always say, you know, you guys have heard me say this before. I'm like, if you can stand toe-to-toe with a Pacino or a De Niro and like really give it something, you know, like and hold your own or just totally sink into their kind of like over-the-top dance, I think you're really a terrific actor. And I think she on her own two feet. She's doing her own thing this whole movie. And she totally stands alongside Pacino. It rules. It's a completely great performance.
She does something that's so funny, which is she laughs at him.
Yeah.
And she like acknowledges the fact that the thing about his performance, which is so great, is that it's so filled with fun because it's a ton of fun to be the devil. Like,
yeah.
And to his point, like the 20th century is entirely mine. Like he's in a good run and he's, and she's just like laughs at him. And it's a really smart thing, you know, where she's kind of like amused by how into him and what he's doing he is. And she's so beautiful, but so great. And like, did you ever see The Ice Harvest?
Oh, a long time ago. Sorry, a long time ago. Terrific. Terrific movie.
She's great. She's like a femme fatale, like right on the nose femme fatale. And it's one of my favorite movies of all time. Anyway.
All right, let's take a quick break, and then we'll talk about because it's going to be we'll talk about our favorite characters that we haven't yet mentioned in this movie, because it has actually murder as well, like great supporting cast that you needed to cast your eyes on. We'll take a quick break, we'll talk about that, and then we'll come back and do our quotes and we'll do our scene. Let's get the boys performing. That's what you want to hear. That's what I want to see. So we'll take a quick break. All right, we're back. I just want to quickly shout out one person that we haven't mentioned yet. When your mother in a movie is Judith Ivy, like shit's gone wrong. Like, you know, she's such a terrific actor, but the minute I saw she was Keanu's mom, I was like, you know, especially when you go back to it, you're like, it's such a great piece of casting, because it's like this totally feverish kind of, you know, by the book, orthodox, religious kind of person, almost like bordering on fundamentalist in their approach of life and like how people live their lives. You're like, there has been some dark shit happening to her in her life. And I just, and then that really connected for me when Keanu's looking at that woman in the jury. It kind of doesn't bury the lead. It's like that woman's been damaged and she wants, you know, she wants retribution or she wants revenge or whatever the line was exactly. I'm sorry to paraphrase, but man, she's good in this movie, even in like the very short stints, because she goes from like completely against his lifestyle with Marianne to being like protecting her, because she's like diagnosed that she is basically being chewed up by this life, and he's being careless with her, you know.
Behold, I send you as sheep amongst the wolves.
Yes.
She's great. And you do, but like, again, she is the opposing, I mean, I guess it's not really a dialogue at all, but like she would be the opposing viewpoint, and it's fucking weak compared to the devil.
Oh yeah. What, you want to like, go to, wait, you want me to memorize the Bible and go to Jacksonville Church? Nah.
Yeah. Like, it's fucking weak, dude. And that's like, religion is like, dude, what are you talking about, man? Fucking weak. Anyway, I don't know. We're in it, like, and my fucking, and a shout kid's out to grandpa.
Shout out to a hero who is good in absolutely everything and has been in some stone cold classics as a supporting actor for a long time, and really in a world right now that we're so tied into social media, gives such good social media. Heather Matarazzo is just like, as a baby in this movie, is so good and so innocent, and that makes it all the more kind of malevolent and awful of what Keanu has to do to her to like put her up there and like take her innocence and lies, to manipulate the situation, which is clearly like she's telling the truth, and to cast that doubt on the jury that this has all been made up, even though he knows that his client is awful and a total sexual predator. I just think she's terrific. She's in so many great movies and she's super fun, and I've got a lot of time for her. She's just great in this movie. But I know I've got to mention so many other people in this movie, but she's great.
She's great. And like watching we're introduced to Kevin Lomax as he fucking, you know, destroys this teenager.
Yeah.
How the fuck do we stay along for the ride? Because he kills her, and
he just goes and has a drink and celebrates, you know,
right.
That's enough. He just goes off and does his thing.
Hammered with his wife. I was watching last night. My wife was like, oh my God, how long has it been since we've had shots like that? I'm like, I can tell you exactly 15 years.
Yeah.
That was every night.
I think that there's a level of drunk where it's bite your wife's ass on the dance floor drunk. That is.
That's right.
I have that written in here.
Yeah.
It says.
It's in my notes.
I said, Keanu bit her butt. And then the next note is, love a good 90s Florida bar band.
Because I look at that to, you know, my wife and I and kids, and not getting a chance to go out and go and like get loosey goosey and go on dates and whatever. And I'm just like, man, remember that there was a club in the sort of early 2000s in the King's Cross, which is a very grubby area of Sydney, called Candies. And when you went there, funnily enough, Candies, when you went there, you walked down, it was almost like the bar in Mean Streets. You walked down into like this underground place that, and the floors were sticky and you paid a cover charge, and it had wall to wall speakers and played such loud music. And I'm almost 100% sure that a younger Blake with an open, sweaty denim shirt may have bitten my now wife's ass on the dance floor. That's how loosey-goosey that place used to get. And it just, as soon as I saw that, I was like, man, I miss it. You know, I miss that. That was so fun. That was a really good time.
I fucking love thinking of you just open denim shirt, sweating. Like feeling that music.
I was feeling it back then. Oh, good memories. Yeah. Thanks, Keanu and Charlize, for bringing that to us. That was great. Great touch.
Yeah. I think that, like, for the other actors in this, like, I mean, this is really a side note, but like, and I'm just kind of infatuated with the fact that, not infatuated, but it's just like the fact that Jeffrey Jones is in this, who is like an actual like monster, like,
yes,
he worked at the Monsters law firm.
Yes.
Like, that was crazy.
America's dad, Jeffrey Jones, Bazoon.
But he,
that's,
I think,
what I said, the creepy,
yeah,
he was, you know, I think he was arrested for like sexual exploitation or something
of children.
He's just like a total bad guy, and he, you know, always kind of got those roles, and then he, you know, that this was what, 2007 this comes out, or
no, not 97, yeah, his next, yeah, massive role, you know, he was, you know, famously Ferris Bueller, Rooney.
Yeah.
Like that. Like, he was Rooney. And then his next big role was Deadwood, where he was in Deadwood for a long time.
He's in Beetlejuice. He's in Who's Harry Crumb with my dad. But yeah, I have to say, though, the Craig T. Nelson storyline is just so good, because that was where the movie then grounded itself again, where he just is this total fucking monster.
Yes.
You know.
But he's exactly the guy that wants to be Milton. That's what I'm talking about. Like,
yeah, exactly.
Trump, that guy. I mean, he's Trump. That's why they showed him in Trump's apartment. It's interesting that you say that, because also another interesting little tidbit is that Keanu took less salary so that they could afford Pacino in this.
I mean, that's
a rumor I've heard. Blake, can you?
Yeah, it seems pretty interesting, because it's like a lot of people have actually validated that he did take a lower salary. And the other tidbit on that is that Pacino heard about it later and donated a whole bunch of his salary to charity, because he didn't know about, like, because Pacino's asking price in the 90s is big. And Keanu at that time is, you know, he hasn't been Neo yet, but he has been Johnny Utah. And he has been Bill from he has been Ted Theodore Logan, you know, like, so he's a big guy, but yeah, it's that whole thing. But yeah, great. It really cool if that's true.
Yeah, another reason why he's the best. Sorry, Chris, I totally interrupted you. Jeffrey Jones, yes. Interesting, weird.
Anytime that dude pops up in a rewatch, I'm kind of always thinking about
it's hard,
the part,
man.
It's hard, but I think about the parts that person got, and then what's, you know, in the actual actor, what's in the actual person. It's nothing more than that, to be honest with you. But he's a creepy dude. But I think, like, this film has a very good, you know, bouquet of creepy people. And I think that, like, all of them do an incredible job. You know, the Leman Heath, that character who played Ruben Santiago Hudson, he was the assistant. He does a great job of kind of like leading you into this world.
And the actor, I'm probably going to butcher his name, but it's Vito Reginis. Like, mm-hmm. one of the great creepy faces. Like, you know, if you look at his IMDb, you know, people say like he's in Moneyball, he's in Broken Arrow, he's in The Fast and the Furious, he's in Casualties of War. He's got such an incredible array of great character actor performances for like decades. Like, there's so right. many cool like character actors that pop up here, and that's a hack. I feel like that's a Hackford. That's, you know, part of Hackford's great talent as a director, because like, you know, he later does things like Ray, but like, I think the peak Hackford time, he does,
Weaver.
Yeah, let's go.
God, there. What an interesting, it's just like a bullet point of like the vast tendrils of the Milton, you know, business evil of like,
yes,
money laundering and
there is
arms sales. And
there also, just one thing too, in regards to the writing of this, like, I found some of the names kind of interesting, like Geddes, Chinatown. There's some Chinatown themes kind of going on in this movie. And then also just within the, like, what is it, like, Dante and Milton, you have Dante's Inferno, and then you have Milton, that's Paradise Lost. These are all movies that deal with the devil, or books that deal with the devil and whatnot. I found some of like the names of some of the characters interesting, because like there was just, I mean, right out the gate with Geddes, I was kind of going like, oh, this is Chinatown in a sense, and you're dealing with, you know.
Don't you start, we're staying firmly in the 90s on this show, but you're just teasing me just enough, Chris Candy, to go, do we need to do two Jakes? Do we need to do two Jakes on the show? Now that is too much movie, right? That is a movie. Alan Stowe alone needs a whole segment on that show, you know?
Dude, Matt, we should just, next season should just be Madeline Stowe movie.
Yes. Yes.
Just, I love, she, to me, she is, dude, God, she's.
The two Jakes. All right. Let's take another quick break, and then we're going to come back and do a couple of our quotes. But I want these lads to come in and do a scene. I think maybe you need to do tag team Pacino. Let's take a break, and you guys might just have to tag team like chunks of dialogue in the next one. I can't wait to hear. All right, guys, we're back. Chris Candy, Rob Belushi. Usually we get them to do different characters in a scene, but if we're on this 18th of January, 1997 revision of the Devil's Advocate script, it almost feels like a buffet of some of the greatest and coolest lines ever. So I think that maybe it just might be more fun if you guys just give us a bit of, you know, rather than dueling banjos, let's go dueling Pacinos. Let's, like, you guys just pick your favorite lines and just give us a treat and just go absolutely nuts. If you need me to lead in as Kevin, either of you, I'm happy to read a line. You guys just tell me where you need me, but I just want to see you guys cook. That's why you watch this movie. It's just to watch Pacino cook, and I'm just here to see you guys cook.
I think, what if we did it this way? I've got a quick idea here. Why don't we do the first couple pages and, like, Rob, if you want to be Milton on the first page, and I'll be Kevin, and then we swap the next page.
Oh, exciting. Let's see. All right, let's do it.
Okay. There's some juicy cut from the film, but still in the script action in here too, which we should keep in.
Yeah, let's keep it in.
You're right about one thing. I have been watching. Couldn't help myself. Watching, waiting, holding my breath. But I'm no puppeteer, Kevin. I don't make things happen. Doesn't work like that. Free will. It's like butterfly wings. One touch and it never gets off the ground. I only set the stage. You pull your own strings.
What'd you do to Marianne?
A gun? In here?
What did you do to my wife?
On a scale of 1 to 10, 10 being the most depraved acts of sexual theater, 1 being an average Friday night run through at the Lomax house, I'd say a 7. Whoa, got me. Got me, damn. That's my boy. Step on up. Stepping. Stay angry. Keep hold to that fury. Hang on tight, Kevin, because it's the final fig leaf.
Who are you? Never lost a case? Why? Why? Because you're so fucking good? Yes, but why?
Because you're my father.
Well, I'm a little more than that. Awful hot in that courtroom, wasn't it? What's the game plan, Kevin? It was a nice run, Kevin. I mean, I had to close out someday.
Who are you?
I've had so many names.
Satan.
Call me Dad.
Marianne, Barzoon, Weaver.
Come on! You're not listening, blaming me for Marianne. I hope you're kidding. You could have saved her any time you liked. Jilly wanted love, but you knew. Wouldn't really work out, didn't you? Marianne in New York? Face it, you're starting to look to better deal with her name the minute you got here.
That's a lie.
Hey, it's not that you didn't care for her. It's just you weren't there. You were a little bit more involved with someone else. Yourself.
What the hell do you know about it? Biochemically no different than eating large quantities of chocolate. Don't be such a fucking chump. There's only one real sickness in all of creation. That is self-delusion. I told you to take care of your wife, that the world would understand. And you made a choice.
You know what scares me, John? I leave the case, she gets better, and I hate her for it. Remember?
You set me up. It's entrapment.
Who told you to pull out the stops for Mr. Geddes? And Moyes, the direction you took? Snake handlers, popes, and swamis all feeding at the same trough. Whose ideas were those? And then Cullen, knowing he's guilty, seeing those pictures, putting that lying bitch on the stand. What did I say, Kevin? Maybe it was time to lose, right? You didn't think so.
That's my job. That's what I do.
Exactly. Vanity is definitely my favorite sin. Self-love. It's so basic. What a drug. Cheap, all natural, and right at your fingertips. Pride. That's where you're strongest. And believe me, I understand. Work for someone else? Hey, I couldn't hack it. But oh, it's better to reign in hell than serving in heaven. But in the movie, Kevin says that.
Yes.
What do you want from me?
What do I want? I want you to be yourself.
I've had many children, Kevin. So many disappointments, neurotic, indecisive wannabes, overeager ham-handed butchers, strung out cryptic losers. And then there's you, your mother. I tell you, she outstripped my wildest fancies. That church she dragged you to every day. What training. What a challenge. It's awesome that you've done. How far you've come, both of you, you and your sister. Half sister, to be exact.
Surprise.
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 What do you think, Kevin? What a scene, huh?
Don't let him scare you.
Wait till you meet her mother.
Wait till you meet her mother. It's a test, isn't it? The whole game, you sitting there keeping score.
No, there's the other guy. I don't judge anybody. As far as I'm concerned, everyone's a winner.
God's your prankster, my boy. Think of it. He gives man instincts. He gives you this extraordinary gift, and then I swear to you, for his own amusement, his own private cosmic gag reel, he sets the rules in opposition. It's the goof of all time. Look, but don't touch. Touch, but don't taste. Taste, but don't swallow. And while you're jumping from one foot to the other, he's laughing his sick fucking ass off. He's a tight ass.
He's a sadist. He's an absentee landlord. Worship that? Never. I'm here on the ground, my nose in it since the whole damn thing began. Why? Because I worship man himself, and it's my time now, our time.
Anybody want a drink? I'm having a drink. This is some pitch. You must need me pretty bad. What do you want?
Eddie was right. Your name is on the partnership charter. I want you to take over the firm, you and your sister. She's ovulating right now.
What? Your vanity is justified, Kevin. You're the seed of the new future. Your son will sit at the head of all tables. You hold a special place in the history of all things.
You want a child.
I want a family!
The Antichrist.
Whatever.
Wait, that was like English.
The Antichrist.
Whatever.
But I have to volunteer.
Free will. It's a bitch. I need a family. I command an ever-larger presence on the board. I'm busy. I need some help. There's a plan. I've been conserving my energy, synergy, prioritized. It's the millennium, Kevin. Battle fight, round 20. I'm ready to work.
So what are you offering?
Are we negotiating?
Always. Yes!
What are you offering?
Everything, anything, all of it! What am I offering? I'm offering, how about bliss? Instant bliss. Bliss on tap. That first line of cocaine. That walk into a strange girl's bedroom. The jury coming back in 38 minutes. Freedom, revolution, viva la causa! She had her in old Monterey. She had him.
You're right, aren't you? About me, I mean, I made all the choices, didn't I? Geddes, Cullen, Marianne, I did kill her, didn't I?
Don't be too hard on yourself.
It's done, forget it. It's all for us now.
God, she's just fucking stunning, isn't she? You're right. I wanted to fuck her from the minute we met. This is not in the movie.
Like that's wrong? Like there's anything wrong with that? That there could be laws preventing something so natural? That's our ticket in! Did you know there were more students in law school right now than lawyers walking the earth? We're coming out guns blazing! Two of you, all of us, acquittal after acquittal until the stench of it reaches so high into heaven it chokes the whole fucking lot of them. What we cannot legislate, we will buy. What we cannot buy, we will degrade. We will blow every fuse in enlightenment until it looks like a vandalized neon sign. And while God is busy and he's at his people, and he designs us with his disapproval as he lumbers around in his empty kingdom like some overlord colonial governor. As God sleeps late, we will win. We've got winners here, kids.
In the Bible, you lose. You're destined to lose, Dad.
Consider the source.
Stop talking, both of you. Kevin, please.
Kevin,
really, please.
She's right, my son. It's time to step up and take what's yours.
I hate that you're going to get this last line.
You're right. It is time.
Do it together. Bang! Do it together.
No! No!
And the demons.
That there's no way topping that. That's done, guys. This has been Too Much Movie. Our most outstanding scene yet. The fun of just watching you two even read this script and have a ball with it. Absolutely sensational. Hire these men, for God's sake. They can do it all. Chris Candy, Rob Belushi, thank you so much, both of you. Gentlemen, is there any last-minute plugs that you want to do before we jump out of this this absolute lunacy that we've created for ourselves?
I'll plug the Pod Thomas Anderson.
What?
I've been listening to Pod Thomas Anderson, a Blake joint with Ethan Warren as the host, and it's great, and it's short. They're short. I don't know how they make short episodes about such huge movies, but it's a great podcast. It's coming out weekly. The first three are out, I believe, which is Hard Eight or /
Sydney.
Sydney, Boogie Nights and Magnolia, and I've enjoyed them all.
Oh, man. Thank you. That's lovely. Chris Candy.
I like asses.
the side of an ass.
When I think of asses,
feel of a woman's ass.
When I think of a woman's ass, something takes hold of me.
You,
something comes out of me.
I want to plug asses.
And my your head is all the way up. Thank you guys so much. That was fun. I have nothing to plug. WGA strong, baby.
WGA strong. Solidarity.
Solidarity. Solidarity. If it got here, a truck brought it.
Brought it.
My indiscreet heart, how it longs for that sweetheart that I left in old.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.